last week I gave you a lot of information about letters and why people wrote letters in the first century and why we write letters today. And actually, you would think I wouldn't have anything else to say about writing letters, but I actually do. But before I get to the new stuff, I want to remind you about some of the old stuff that I talked about last week. Which is, we talked about last week that the beginning of this letter identified the people. It identified the person writing the letter, Paul, an apostle, and it identified the people, too. And there were three things about these people that we said extended to us in the modern day that you have to keep in mind as you read the rest of the letter. And those three things were, they were saints, they were gifted, and they were on the road to blamelessness because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And so, if we know who the people are in the letter, that changes the way that we think about what is said next. Which is today, when Carol got up to do our second reading, it started with, I hear there are divisions among you, and you are quarreling. Because there are divisions among them, it doesn't change anything about what he already called them. Saints, gifted, and on the road to blamelessness. That's where this discussion starts. But there's something else I think we need to know about these people. Because last week I was big into we extend this letter to all Christians at all times. And we do. And we're going to this morning as well. But I think there's something else specific about this congregation that you need to be aware of to help us make sense of what Paul's complaint is. And why they might be so divided in their approach to being a congregation together. And in fact, as we read throughout the letter, they're pretty comfortable with their divisions. In fact, part of the reason Paul is writing this letter is they're divided and they just don't really care about it. They're happy being divided and being still a congregation. And he's going to tell them, you can be diverse and be a congregation, but you can't be diverse in the way that you are being diverse and be a congregation. And there's a little geographical anomaly about the Church of Corinth that I think will help us understand why they're so comfortable with just being at odds with one another. Why they're just so comfortable, as we can hear from the reading, thinking that it's okay for some of them to be of Apollos, and some of them to be of Paul, and some of them to be of Cephas. And that is, Corinthians live in this town, Corinth, that is on, which we all understand this because we live on one too, or some of us live on one, an isthmus. It is 4 miles wide piece of land that connects the southern ball of what we would call the nation of Greece, basically to the mainland of what is Europe. And if you want to get from what is Greece to what is more the mainland of Europe, there's only one way to get there on foot, and that is to walk basically across this land bridge that's 4 miles wide. Or you've got to take a boat around this great big, ball of land that's hanging out in the Mediterranean Ocean to get anywhere up into Europe. But it's not just that. So shepherds who need to move north to south or south to north, or people that want to trade or they want to take another route into the north coast of Africa and they're going to caravan down to the tip of Greece and then get on a boat where it's shorter. It's not just that, it's that this big ball of land that sticks out in the Mediterranean, wouldn't it be great if you're sailing from Turkey or from Palestine and you want to get to Rome or to Spain, wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to take all this time to sail around it? And they figured out, actually, it's faster, it's only 4 miles wide, if we get our boats, we put them on rollers, and we roll them across this little piece of rock here, and then we save several days of travel with our goods. Now, you might think that this is just a geographical, something I'm just sharing because I want to share my knowledge. But the truth is, it has a huge impact on everything that happens in this letter, because I want you to imagine if you live in a place where people are always passing through. What kinds of things do you need to have in this place? In fact, it reminds me of a friend who was a chaplain for the Merchant Marine Corps. And part of her job of being a chaplain was she had to know all of the world's religions because sailors who come through are coming from different parts of the world and they have different practices. And to be able to be an effective chaplain to them, she had to know a variety of rites and rituals and backgrounds. And that's just the religious part. So we got people on boats coming through. They need their different religions when they land. They need to be able to eat the kinds of food that they eat when they're at home. They need to be able to interact with the kinds of entertainment they interact with when they're at home. This place is just diverse to the nth degree. And not just that, people don't hang around there. People are always passing through. And so there is literally this revolving door population of 600,000 people in the first century, basically located on this 4 mile wide piece of earth. It's crowded. And when the followers of Jesus start up there, it's not just that they're an anomaly in a pretty homogeneous religious environment. They also add to that diversity. And I believe, and I think this is what Paul is addressing, these people are very comfortable being different from one another because they live in a very close proximity to folks who are different from one another. And also, they're very susceptible to picking the passer through that they like the best to be the one that they want to follow. And Paul wants to tell them, that's not the basis of what it means to be a variety of believers in the body of Christ. And so he's got two things he's got to do with this letter here at the beginning. The first one is he has to convince them that the kind of diversity that they have created in their culture is not a good kind of diversity. And then the second one is he has to offer them a reason for true unity. And he's going to do that over the next 2 weeks. This week, he does it through the idea of their baptism. And he very simply makes a distinction, one that I think it is important for us to remember, that we are baptized into something. We are not baptized by something or someone. So the problem that they have there, because they're so used to people coming through and attaching to a person who's a traveling preacher or someone who is on their way to Rome or back on their way to Palestine who is carrying this message of Jesus, they've really said, well, I like Apollos' message a little bit better. It's a little bit different than Paul's. In fact, later on, we're going to find out they start to denigrate the different preachers' messages. In fact, they develop this term there, super Christians, because some of them think they're super. And it doesn't mean the others aren't Christian. They're just not as good as certain ones. But this is the difference of being baptized by and baptized into. We are a people that are not baptized by anything or anyone, theologically speaking. We are people that are baptized into Christ. So that rite, that ritual, that we all, or most of us, have been through where we've been washed by water to make that old thing into something that is new. Where we have holistically seen the refreshment of our body, mind, and spirit. That thing that should unify us by being baptized into something, which is what happens when you are baptized into Christ. He says Christ is not divided. Is different than when you say you were baptized by something or someone. Because that something or someone could be anything. It could be the philosophy, the theology, the cultural stance that you enjoy the most. I mean, we are like the Corinthians. We live in a diverse place in a lot of ways. We have a lot of influences on us. And there are a lot of ways that we can say that we have been baptized by a philosophy or a way of being in this world. But that is not the same is being baptized into Christ. And the difference is really this. The difference is when we start to examine ourselves as being baptized into something, it gives us a standard by which to measure what we believe to be our spiritual work in the world. Because if we're baptized by a philosophy, if we're baptized by a culture, we measure ourselves by that. We say that those things are more important to us than the example of the person of Christ. But the example of the person of Christ is so much different than what any of our philosophies or cultures would allow us to be. And that's going to be what he brings up next week, but we'll get to that in just a minute. I want us in this place to change the perspective of the way that we look at each other, as I said last week, as saints, as gifted, and as people who are on the same road to the same outcome of blamelessness. That is because that is the view that we have of one another when we are baptized into something and not by something. Our world wants us to be baptized by, because our world wants to own us. But we are only owned by one person, and that is the person we are baptized into, and that is Christ himself. So Paul wants to tear down these divisions they've created because of their comfort with a diversity that maybe they should not be comfortable with. But he also wants them to know that they are unified. And the first step of that is knowing who they are baptized into. But the second part, which might be the harder part, is that they all have to acknowledge that they are unified in another way. And that's the message for next week. They are unified in their foolishness. Amen.